Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. This is your host, Felicia DeRozier, my lovely co-host. They look so bright and cheerful and bushy-tailed today.
It's so early.
It's so early. We're a homeschool family, and they're like, 9 a.m.? So this is my daughter.
Hi.
What's your name?
Oh, yeah, my name's Mariah.
That's Mariah Broom. She's my daughter. I love her. She might be half asleep this morning.
I didn't even get my second breakfast this morning.
No second breakfast? Are you a hobbit now? Okay. And this is my son?
Cross, who's also half asleep.
We are joined today by our marvelous guest, and that is Mary Jane Eichholz. Welcome, Mary Jane!
Thank you for having me. I've been up since 6 o'clock this morning, so
that is an unholy hour.
So she's laughing at all of us because, like, we're all sitting around here with bedhead. Actually, I have an appointment after this, so I don't quite have bedhead, but pajamas are still in order. So
Wait, there's a pajama party. There's a 6 a.m.
There is a 6 a.m. I'll wake you up sometime so you can experience it.
No. Fall right back.
So, guys, right now we're going to head to commercial break. You know how this works. We want to do the commercial break before we get into everything. We'll tell you more about Mary Jane and about our Bible verse when we get back in about 3 minutes. Thanks, guys.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now. So why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marty.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to...
Hey, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com. And you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolly, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolly, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
All right, guys, and welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. I'm your host, Felicia DeRozier. Co-host, my daughter,
Mariah.
And my son,
Half asleep cross.
He's
that means I'm the cool one today. Because he's half asleep.
He can't focus you. All right.
You're half, too weak. Half asleep, I could still beat you in a cool contest.
Wow. Shots are fired. Okay. It's too small of a bed for you guys to be doing this. So once a week, our bedroom becomes a radio station. And we hold Bible study here because why wouldn't you? Today we are joined by special guest Mary Jane Eichholz. She is an amazing lady. I know her through church, but let me tell you a little bit about her. She's been married to her husband for 23 years, who she met at our church 25 years ago. She's been called mom by 7 children, which is super awesome. That's the best number ever. It's the number of completeness in the Bible. Two of whom are still at home. Kimberly, who's 17 and so, so sweet. And my other daughter, I don't know if you'll ever hear her sweet little voice because she's shy, but her bestie. And then Sam, who's 16. She has 2 grandsons, and the 3rd is due any day. We'll be praying for that. She's worked with her brother for 25 years.
Doctor's appointment this
morning. So. Woo! Yes. So we need a little extra prayer as well, don't we?
Yes.
She's everything from picking up dry cleaning, managing multi-million-dollar transactions. She loves to quilt. This lady's a quilter. I don't know how anybody has that kind of patience, like, to be honest.
No.
Y'all amaze me quilting. She owns a long arm, and she only thought she'd be here in Vegas briefly, but she's ended up living at her home for a long time. I want to tell you a little bit about what she does in ministry, because she's a busy lady, okay, but on top of that, she has plenty of time to serve God. She's worked on the Women's Council at our church for over 10 years with Ignite Life, which is a local ministry for women's ministry. It's like a external multi-church ministry. She's been on their council for 5 years. And she's served
Not on
the
council,
women.
Just serving,
Oh, just serving. Okay. And
serving,
her philosophy on serving is being where she's needed and just doing it with love and unto the Lord, which is awesome. Thank you so much for taking time. And she's really taking time in her very busy day to join us. So we're so glad that you're here.
It's a crazy day. Thank you.
It's a crazy day. She's on her way into work, but she's here for Bible study, which is amazing. Does anybody want to pray for us before we get started?
I prayed last time, Raya. You prayed.
Oh, Raya's turn. Let's go.
Lord Jesus, thank you so much for everyone that is tuning in today and for those who are not able to tune in right now. We pray that they just get blessed to hear the recording. Thank you so much for Mary Jane setting aside time to be with us and to share her wisdom and your word. Help us to not get in the way of what you want to say today, Lord. Let it be your words and your words alone. Protect our brothers and sisters in front, behind, and to the side of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Well, let's pray for that doctor's appointment.
Yes.
Everything goes well.
Let it be a healthy baby and that nothing goes wrong, please.
And put your hand on that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started. And Mary Jane, I know you have the notes, so if you find any place that you just want to augment and add to, we want you to add to this sort of thing. But let's read scripture first. Today we're going to be in Romans 5, 1 through 5. So if you have your Bible out, feel free to follow along. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith unto this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured onto our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That was Romans 5, 1 through 5. This has always been a mouthful of a scripture for me, so this was actually a really, really hard lesson for me to go through and write. But I think that I got some clarity on it, and I'm really excited to share it.
We're Romans.
We're making some progress now. Like, it felt like we would never get anywhere that first, like, 4 episodes where we were all in the first chapter. We can be assured that being at peace with God has benefits, and that makes the hardships in this world more meaningful. I think that we kind of feel like we play hide-and-seek with God when we're unsure of his character. It's one of those things where if we feel like he is this mean and foreboding disciplinarian type of a God, we want to hide our mistakes and hide our shortcomings from him. But God's not like that at all. God is that loving, kind Father that we can run to who wants to help us through things. And now we have acquired peace with God through Jesus. So let's figure out what we can experience now that we have peace. It's said over and over again that we get saved, and people just tend to promise us that now life is going to change or just be different or just be better. Have you ever heard that? I literally heard when I got saved, now your life is going to be so much better. And it, like, super wasn't. It was, like, worse. So I was in a non-Christian household where me becoming a Christian actually caused some conflict between my father and I. And so it didn't get better immediately, like it didn't, but I didn't walk through things alone. So we walk out renewed, but we walk into the same world where we were before we got saved, and those same problems and the same pain. Life continues to be hard, and sometimes our newly found faith can add to the challenges where we were already feeling, where we were already facing new convictions and naysayers and just the trauma that goes along with the world. We can become disillusioned with the Christian life very quickly. So the storms in life do not supernaturally calm down. So what is it that we can actually expect this newfound peace with God to bring? Do you guys have anything to add yet there or anything? No? Okay. Mary Jane, did you have anything you wanted to pop in?
No, I just, just thinking about that newfound peace, which stays with you. Going through some trials right now myself, and it's like I'm just amazed at the peace I have walking through it right
mm-hmm.
now. And just because I know God's
right.
character, like you were saying, I know who He is.
Right, right, right. A lot of times it can feel like you're like free falling through the world, right?
Right.
There's all this challenge and trauma and you don't feel like you have an anchor. Suddenly you know that God is present and He's with you, and it makes it a little less scary.
Right.
So let's talk about what peace with God really is. Okay. We've established that before salvation, we stand as rebels against God's kingdom. Much of our existence on this earth has revolved around our feelings, our perceptions in life. And to be honest, the real fact that we were making ourselves objects of God's wrath was probably news to us. We probably just thought we were doing our own thing. It's hard for us to perceive that strain in the relationship that we're choosing to ignore. So the peace, what is this peace with God talking about? Salvation brought through the completed work at Calvary justifies our sin, past, present, and future, to God. So I may not have felt that strain in the relationship, but God did, right? I was just ignoring the relationship. Imagine if you have a friend, for example, okay, and you're mad at them, okay, and you just basically put them on ignore. You cut them out of all your photos. The kids don't do that anymore. They edit them out of the photos. But remember, Mary Jane, when you and I were young, we'd have to cut them out of photos, right?
Cut them out, rip them up, yeah. Draw mustaches on
right.
the faces, yeah, the whole
thing. Exactly. And then we just put them on ignore, and then we don't feel that strain anymore, right? But we can't
right.
actually get ourselves in a relationship with God. He's not ignoring us, and He's so frustrated with the way that we're living. So maybe we weren't feeling that strain, but God totally was feeling that strain. So I may not have perceived that guilt, but the day was coming when God's righteous judgment was coming for me, and now I don't need to fear that day because Jesus bore the eternal consequence of my sin, but not the earthly one. In other words, like, I'm divorced, okay? I ended up making some really bad decisions and subsequent bad decisions, okay? I still have to bear the consequences on earth of what my decisions were at that point. And every bad decision I make today, including a white lie or rolling out of bed too late, hint, hint. Just kidding. Just teasing you guys. Okay. I got a couple of looks right now.
We were too tired to even see the bus. It's okay.
Okay. So now we have the righteousness of Christ and God's blessing, but we still live in this fallen world and in the enemy's territory. As a result, walking out our faith in the throes of sickness and pain and heartache and trials. John 16:33 even says so much right out of the mouth of Jesus. I have said these things that to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I think we expect for the world's condition to magically change because we're at peace with God, but it doesn't. We were brought up in this basically enemy territory. Until we go home, this is where we are. And so the attacks of the enemy are still the same. The results of sin are still the same. Pain, sickness, sorrow, tribulation, and trial. And sometimes it can even become worse because of the fact that, you know, we now belong to Jesus, right?
Right.
So here we are trying to thrive in Satan's playground. Before we joined God's team, the world was even a little bit friendlier, but now things are different. We do people a disservice when we represent the gospel as making the difficulties in life easier. Here Paul is telling us what we can actually expect in this new and peaceful, righteous relationship with God. And the first thing is grace. Okay? Grace is really important because I'm going to make all sorts of mistakes. Like, I'm still in my sinful flesh. My mind is in the process of being renewed, and I have the mind of Christ, but there's this inner struggle between me and the mind of Christ, right? And so in the meantime, I'm still going to mess up, right? But God loves us. He forgives us. He helps teach us through those things instead of, you know, getting frustrated with us. I'm going to pause for a minute because I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to say stuff if they have insights to share. How about you, Mary Jane? You got anything?
No, I was just going to say that concept of grace is one that has served me well as a parent also, because understanding what God has done through me, through his son, and just being able to extend that grace to my kids at times when they have totally messed up makes all the difference in the world. And, you know, I think having children really helps you understand God's love, what he did, and why he did it. That's, you know.
Yeah, I thoroughly agree. Now, of course, I have children here, and they don't necessarily understand that because they're still the ones receiving grace, right? How do you think that it goes for you guys living under my household? For example, when I would get just really mad and maybe I'm feeling my anger and I'm yelling at you or whatever versus when I'm extending grace to you.
The grace is more effective, honestly. We tell our friends all the time, it's not when you yell when you're scary, it's when you're talking to us quietly. Then you're under control. I'm not justified by you being angry at me anymore. You're coming to me calmly and rationally, which shows just how much in the wrong I am. And then if you're yelling at us, we're justified. Oh, well, it wasn't that bad. She's just losing her cool. It's her in the wrong. So if you're coming to us being like, hey, you know this was wrong, and A, B, and C, we're like, we're so sorry. We're sinners. We're sorry.
They're both sitting here laughing. I'm not much of a yeller, am I?
No. Because it doesn't work.
Earlier on one of the other radio shows, Mom was like, so if you do something wrong, do you want me to be just or graceful to you? I'm like, well, graceful. And she says, but if your sister does something wrong to you, do you want me to be just or graceful? I said just.
Right, because that's really the way that we are. We've been seeking this grace all this time. Like, we didn't understand we were violating God's law. But once we understand there's a God, and he has a law, and he has a way of doing things, and we understand we're in violation of it, that's a very scary thing, right? And we want graciousness for us, right? But then, of course, we do want justice for everything that's done wrong against us, right? That's why we're supposed to forgive those who do wrong to us. Man, it's a hard teaching, right? Go ahead. Go ahead, Mary Jane.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just thinking, you know, the verse that I was called Pastor Greg's favorite verse, the pressed down, shaken, double measure, you know, that's what we're supposed, that's what we get from God, and that's what we're supposed to pour out onto others.
Right. A full measure. Do you have that verse handy? She says, no, I don't, but I can get it handy. A full measure, pressed down, shaken together. There was all sorts of wonderfulness
Pastor
to that
Greg,
verse.
I always call it Pastor Greg's verse because he had said it more times from the pulpit than probably any other scripture.
Yeah.
And I'm driving.
Which make you have it. It would make you think we have it memorized. That's okay. We've got it. It's Luke 6:38. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back.
Yes.
So we definitely want to give and give and give. Yes, yes. That's New Living Translation. That's not, I think you usually gave it an NIV. So if it seems unfamiliar, that's why we were reading it off of Mariah's phone. So, so in my heart, like, I want to do all these good things, right? Things that honor God.
Right.
But more often than not, I mess with my sin. What's crazy to me is when I think about it, like, even when I'm trying to do good things, like, at least 50% of the time, it's still jacked up by my own attitude and by, like, you know, the way that I'm doing stuff anyway. You know, like, I can even want to do something good and it still end up being somewhat sinful. You know, like, come on.
It's all motivations, right? It's motivations. What's your motive?
Yes.
And you can be doing the best thing for the wrong motive, and it's going to backfire on you.
Right, right, right. And like, I feel like a lot of times, even if there's just this slightest moment of, like, self-satisfaction out of it, I'm like, oh, Lord, I have to repent. You know what I mean? I was trying to do good, man, but, like, there it went again. So, yeah, I find that all the time. So, you know, I know that the wages of sin is death, and I know that in true justice, that's what I deserve. Even after I'm saved, my flesh is a force to be reckoned with, and God's grace is there as I learn to walk out my faith. He guides me, restores me, and disciplines me as I grow. Second thing, so the first thing that we got out of this peace with God was grace, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that we can learn and grow. The second thing was true peace, okay? We don't have to lie. We don't have to misrepresent. We can be honest before God. We may remember in times in our lives when there was a relative amount of calm. That was always just temporary. And eternal peace comes when we walk with God. He can calm the storm of life, but more often he calms me while I walk through the storm. So let's check out Psalms 23, which, like, this is like the most famous verse in the Bible other than John 3:16,
right?
I think. But I still have it memorized, so we're looking it up, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemy. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Ever.
That's the verse of the day in the YouVersion app.
No way, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I'm gonna assume. So we're reading this off Mariah's phone. I'm gonna assume you did some study in this because, like, literally every verse in that is highlighted, right? So do you have some insight to share about that at all? Just give me this look, like, don't put me on the spot like that.
It's all, like, highlighted in different periods of my life, so it's like. I like how it's sectioned in the verses because I don't know how to explain that. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He's the one that takes care of me. No one else is able to protect me or reassure me the way that he does. Where he leads me in green meadows and peaceful streams, he provides me with all of the needs.
Right.
And it's peaceful. It's not like a roller coaster, playground, merry-go-round thing. I am nourished. I am renewed. I'm refreshed.
And he's not leading us into trials and tribulations and pain and sorrow, right?
Right.
That's pretty awesome, too.
He renews my strength when I'm going through those trials and guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to his name. It's not me that's doing it, it's him.
Right.
Even when I walk through the darkest valleys, or some people know as the shadow of death,
mm-hmm.
I will not be afraid, for you're close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. So when I'm going through those things, I know I have the reassurance or the peace that he is there and he's doing what I can't.
My favorite part, can I just interrupt for a second,
yeah.
is the rod and the staff, because I didn't understand that for a long time because I don't understand much about shepherding because I'm not a shepherd now. I live someplace where there's shepherds, right? But apparently, so the rod and the staff have different uses, and I've heard a lot of people use this part out of context where they'll say that a shepherd would break the leg of a lamb if it was getting into mischief, and I'm thinking to myself,
what?
Yeah, like with the staff, that he uses it to discipline us. And I was like, what shepherd in his right mind wants to carry a sheep around his neck because he broke the sheep's leg? Like, that's just stupid, right? Okay. So, oh, sorry if anybody... Okay. Anyway, I'm stepping on a toe here. Okay, so...
Roll them in, guys.
So the staff was to ward off intruders. It is to protect the sheep. And then... So they're using that to make sure that, like, you know, nothing's gonna attack. The rod or the staff, that's the hook, is what's used to rescue the sheep off of a cliffside or something like that. So it's all about protecting and rescuing and nurturing the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we're going to continue to walk through some craziness, but we're not going to walk alone, okay?
I have a question.
Oh, okay.
Did they actually have to carve the hook in the staff, or did they just have to find a stick that had a hook in it?
That, I would think they're carving it, but I don't really know. I don't want to say for sure and then be totally wrong. Let's look that up after the show, okay? All right.
My favorite is the last two. They're a feast for me in the presence of my enemy. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. It's kind of like the na-na-na-na-na-na kind of thing. I get a kick out of that. He likes to brag about me and kind of like...
brag about you. I brag about you, too.
I know, but it's kind of nice. And then, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever.
Forever and ever and ever. I'm going to pop through. I've got two more points, but we're running out of time, so I'm going to pop through real quick. Is that okay? So
yes.
Point number two was we have true peace. Point number one was we have grace. Point number three, we have tested and true faith. Each test or trial that we go through here strips away the illusion of safety on earth. It presses us to keep our eyes and hope locked firmly on God, the author and finisher of our faith. We cannot trust in our health, wealth, influence, fame, or our own strength. God remains when our faith is tested in the crucible of life, and every single impure thing is laid to waste. And finally, number four, we have joy in suffering, which sounds crazy. Like, anybody here want to suffer?
No.
No, we don't want to suffer, right? I'd like to skip that part, please.
That's uncomfortable.
It is uncomfortable. And early Christians knew a thing or two about suffering. They were under the heavy-handed authority of Rome, and they were being persecuted and driven out of their homes into the vastness of the Roman Empire. Our problems don't go away when we make Jesus our Lord, but Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him are called according to his purpose. I'm really glad I actually put this verse in the teaching because it's been a couple weeks since I wrote it. And I wasn't sure if I had put it in. But I was like, this is like the perfect verse to talk about because God doesn't cause all things, but he doesn't waste opportunities. When we have a struggle or a trial before us, when the effects of sin are haunting us, when life is getting the best of us, he goes, it's all right. It's not going to go to waste. And he finds a way to build in us something better because of it. I think about, would I go back in time and relive parts of my life where I made big mistakes? And I keep thinking to myself, you know, while that might be comfortable and nice, the truth of the matter is, like, that's where God really built in my character. So no, I really couldn't. You know what I mean? I need those parts in order for me. Could you imagine me being, you know, I'm 46 now, right? With a character I had when I was 22. Yeah, no, I'm good. I needed all that. You know what I mean? Right. So, got something to share here.
Yep. Lewis actually kind of has something similar to that.
Okay.
He says, I'm going to read it fast. Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps, you can understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew that those jobs needed doing, and so you're not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably so and does not seem to make any sense. What on earth is he up to? To explain that he is building quite a different house from the one you thought of, throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were being made into a decent little cottage, but he is building a palace he intends to come and live in himself.
Uh-huh. And so, nice.
And so when you're talking about rebuilding your character, it's a kingdom character, not just a goody-two-shoes character.
Right.
And kingdom characters come with co-heir responsibilities.
Right. And we become the temple of the Lord. You know, and so it needs to be a dwelling place where he can dwell comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And who wants to go to a house that's full of chaos and dirtiness? He wants,
don't we live in that?
I was about to say, I thought that's what we call home.
Yeah, I'm talking about Jesus, y'all.
Oh, okay.
He wants to come to a peaceful home.
All right.
Sure,
all right.
He does. Also, something... when you said that they would drive them out of their homes, while Biden isn't very likely to
No political talk. We don't do political talk. But,
not political.
Oh, okay. You're talking about if the president came to our house.
If the president came to our house, he's very unlikely to drive to kick us halfway to Idaho. He's also very unlikely to raid our homes, but he's just saying that in this modern day we'll probably face trial and error.
Okay, so we should be prepared for things to happen that are unexpected, like a presidential visit. I think I need to clean my house. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Right, yeah, no, it's not ready for a presidential visit for sure. So we rejoice that pain can have a greater purpose, and it grows us, it teaches us, it deepens our faith, and it advances the kingdom. Endurance in this verse, the ability to stand firm. Character, this is an interesting word because I always think of it just making us, you know, nicer and kinder, but the word actually proof or refine. So it's not just that we're getting a better character, but we're actually getting one that's more like Jesus. And hope is not that wish on a star type of a feeling that we get, you know, like, you know, Disney when you wish upon a star. That's not what hope is here. Hope is the assurance of what has yet to come. It's certainty. I always think it's strange to say that hope does not bring us shame, but it doesn't shame us or frustrate us because we have evidence that our hope is based in something real, and that evidence is the Holy Spirit within us. The love of God through the Holy Spirit is the proof that we aren't hoping in vain. And as we live this truth, our grip on the world grows weaker, and our desire for eternal life and to see God's face grows stronger day by day. And now, I'm all done, and I can shut up for a little bit, and we can go to commercial break. Does that work for everybody real quick? And when we come back, we're going to hear all about Mary Jane's story, and she's going to tell us about some of the lessons that she's learned in her life and how God has used tough situations to make glorious, awesome things happen. Okay? So we will be back soon. Here we go to cut to commercial.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to WeFunder.com/groundswellcard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now, so why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marti.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marti.com. Marti.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked, or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marti.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marti.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marti.com.
And welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. I'm your host, Felicia Droger. My illustrious co-host, my daughter,
Mariah.
My son,
Super Tired Cross.
Super Tired Cross. And our amazing guest today, Mary Jane Eichholz, who we adore. She's had so much wonderful stuff to share. But now I'm so excited to hear a little bit about her testimony. You guys, we were even talking over the break. She's got so many wonderful stories to share, but I just wanted to do what, like, go the way that the Holy Spirit's leading her. So, Mary,
story time, kids.
It's story time. So, Mary Jane was talking obviously about growing us, growing
about
us
what?
Through challenges. We're talking about God growing us through challenges, and your testimony is just so powerful. Like, do you want to share with us any time where you faced a challenge and God has just walked you through it?
Well, I think we talked a little bit about, you know, when I married my husband, he was older and he had teenage boys who I claim as my own. They are amazing young men, and he was done, and I was not, and so we went through this struggle of what do we do, and we decided that we were going to try to adopt. He wanted an older child, and I wanted under five. So in that process, we actually got privately, not through any organization or anything, a little girl in our home, and we had her for a year. And at the end of that year, her grandparents suddenly and quite suddenly took her away from us. And it was probably, I've never experienced a day that we lost her like any other day. That is, to this day, the hardest day of my life. And that young girl, 20 years old now. And in that process, we had a lot of people come alongside us and said move forward. So we did. And we also had a lot, the people that took her from us also went to our church. And we had people come to us and say, you need to ask the pastor and tell them they can't come here anymore. And my husband was like, no, you know, we're not going to be responsible for somebody not being in church and not doing that. And it worked out. It managed its way through. And but in that process, we ended up we lost her in November of 2004. And our adoption, our adopted daughter, we got on June 10th the following year. And then our son, we were pregnant. We got pregnant at the same time we were working through the adoption. And at 42 years old, I had my first child, my only biological child, in that following January. So, and we refer to our children as our double portion. God blessed us immensely. And you know, and in that process. And I think we were talking about this earlier about motivations, you know, and doing the right thing for the wrong reasons or whatever. And there came a point in our home where we knew the family that was asking us to adopt this child wanted us to do some certain things that we knew were not in the best interest of the child, and were not in would totally destroyed the sanctity of our family. And I always I know it's 2 Samuel 15 and it says sacrifice, obedience is better than sacrifice. And that was a verse that came to me many, many times. And we knew that the stand we were taking was going to create loss. We knew that we were risking losing this child, and like I said, losing her, there's nothing that's ever compared to that. So it wasn't a light decision, but we knew that under the circumstances, wanting what they want, we had to risk it, and we had to take our stand. And our stand ended up us losing this little girl, and three times, in three different situations in the following month, I was in a service somewhere where that verse was repeated back to me, not to me, but I was in the room as, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And, you know, we know that this is Samuel talking, I think, to Saul, you know, you got to do what God says. You got to do this. You can't, you know, do right. the bad things and then give him all the treasure. That's not what he wants. He wants you to be obedient. And through that, you know, and then we ended up with our double portion through all of that. Moving forward, you know, my adopted daughter, we didn't know. We started seeing things around three that realized that they're, she wasn't like other kids. she's amazing. But, you know, that she's got what I like to refer to as alphabet soup. We are nowhere near done. Figuring out all the things that she has going with us, you know, and I know this, and people tell me this, and they don't have to tell me, because I know God chose us to take this little girl, because I've been able to advocate for her over, you know, she's 17, but she's still my little girl, over and over and over again, you know. And there have been times that I've been angry, you know, that angry at the bio parents for some of the things that they've visited upon this child. But, you know, I let it go. I you know, and it's also as a Christian, as a life affirming Christian, you know, and I realize, you know, when I say I believe in the sanctity of life, and that means for all life, and I'm so thankful for my child, and I tell her all the time, we talk about how amazing her birth mom is, because her birth mom chose life for her, and then her birth mom chose a better life for her through adoption, and so thankful for that, but I'm kind of rambling now. That's just one of the, you know, the instances of having to go through forgiveness, forgiving the grandparents, you know.
Right.
Our attorney's like, do you want to fight? And again, my husband, who's just an amazing man, said, I will never go to court to fight, to remove a child from somebody else so I can have that child. I won't do it. And you know, we knew that God had a plan, and we knew that we, you know, like I said, I'm going through a bit of a trial right now, and I'm praying in a specific way, and I laugh at my husband. I'm like, this is what I want done, but I know God's not going to do it my way, because he never does. You know, he does it in a way that I was like, oh my gosh, I never thought of that, or wouldn't it be, isn't that just amazing? You know, I was 14 years old. My parents had divorced 2 years previous to that, mm-hmm. and my brother and I joke, my parents had this huge custody battle over him and I, and it went something like this: you take the kids. No, you take the kids.
Right.
And, you know, and we went back and forth, and by the time I was 14, and I was every bit of a sassy 14-year-old hormonal teenager as there ever was, and my parents were done with me, and they sent me to go live with my aunt, which I'll just say it did not end well. We'll just put it like that. But through all of that, by the time I was 16 and having been, you know, on the verge of homelessness, living with people that were not family, this man had stepped forward and he was my guardian. I just want to be very clear. He was my guardian, but he was not a Christian. But mm-hmm. his sister was married to the vice principal of my high school, and they started taking an interest in me. And they came to me and said, which was just, and I wasn't a Christian, we've been praying. And I'm like, what does that mean? And we want you to come live with us. And so when I was 16 years old, at the end of my sophomore year, I moved in with this family, and they were Christian, and I was really struggling because I was going to have to go to church now, and I just did not want to do that. I liked sleeping in on Sundays, but I did, and it took me another year and a half before I gave myself to the Lord. And then looking back, you know, we talk about the trials and the tribulations and the joy it builds and the character it builds. And had I not gone through that, I don't know that I would have known the Lord like I do today if I hadn't have been brought into that family, who is my family today. And still, you know, I have relations. My father passed in 2014. I've got to take my mom to a doctor's appointment this afternoon. So I'm very, you know, my parents are still my parents, but this is my family. And they showed me Jesus, and because of my background, I continued to mess up repeatedly. I've been married and divorced. Well, I've been married 3 times, divorced twice. So at the end of my second marriage, you know, and I have to say, my first marriage, that husband was an alcoholic, and he was my father. And that was just really, that was a lot of, there was a lot of abuse. He was my 4A husband. He was an addict, an adulterer, an abuser, and an alcoholic. He hit all the spots. Yeah. And, but I came out of that. And when I came to Las Vegas, I came here because my brother was here, and I needed a place to land. And I knew the first thing I needed to do was to be a Christian counselor. And so I started with that counseling process, And I realized, you know, that I had believed a lie from the enemy. And the lie was, yeah, you're a Christian, but you're not that good of a Christian. And if you marry a Christian man, oh my gosh, that's not equally yoked. You're going to pull that man so far down, you know, you're just not worthy. And I believe that. And through this counseling, you know, I realized that was a lie, and I realized that I deserved a Christian man. And then I said to my counselor,
mm-hmm.
I said, oh my gosh, I said, I realized that I deserve to be married to a Christian man. I deserve that. I said, but my gosh, you know, here I am. I was 36 years old, 34 years old. I've been married and divorced twice. What Christian man is going to want to have anything to do with me? And my counselor looked at me and she shook her head. She goes, you know, you're right. She said, God could never do anything like that for you. And I looked at her like, what? And she said, why are you putting your God in a box? Why are you boxing God? And I realized, you know, and I prayed and I said, Lord, I deserve a Christian man. Send me a Christian man. And it was probably within a week or two that I met Ray, and I met him at church, and mm-hmm. and he asked me out, and I thought, okay, so this is my first date after being divorced. And we were in the car, and he told me that he had been married and divorced twice. And I went, oh my gosh, this man is not going to judge me. You're not going to look at me like I'm something that I'm not. And, you know, and then I think that's, you know, part of the, God does things for us that we're not expecting. But when we put our faith and our trust in him, and when we walk through those valleys with him, he will bless us in ways that we never thought possible. You know, we've been married for 23 years. I could never be, there's no man on this planet that can put up with me like my husband can put up with me. And there's no man that can continually point me to Jesus in so many different ways. And I'm just so blessed and I'm so thankful. And God knew what I needed. And, you know, and during this time, my first husband, the 4A, I got a letter in the mail, and he had gotten into the 12-step program, and he had hit that step of apologizing to those that he had harmed. And he had written me a letter. And, you know, and it gave me that moment to reflect. And I told him, you know, I said, first of all, you have to understand, I chose you because I was in an unhealthy place in my life still. And I chose you. So, you know, I own that part of it, you know. And I said, but I put everything else at your feet. But, you know, if that was the journey that I had to take to get to where I am today, I wouldn't want any other journey. As much as pain and the lowest parts of my life. And, you know, and I think that's the part where, you know, it perseverance builds character. Continuing on, not losing my faith, continuing to find ways to build my faith. You know, the first thing I did when I came to Las Vegas was I knew I had to get plugged into a church. I just left my best friend, who was my pastor's wife, and to move here, and I needed to get reconnected immediately. And I went to a Christian college in San Diego, so I knew that I was going to have to travel to a lot of churches till I, you know, found that one. And quite by accident, my brother and I are driving on a late Saturday night, and I drove past this church where I saw this big, beautiful, lit up, incandescent, like, cross on the building, and uh-huh. It was Cornerstone, and I looked up. I needed an early service because my dad was coming into town the next day, and they had one, and I walked into that church, and I knew that was my home, and they actually helped me find my Christian counselor, but, you know, it was those things, those steps that I could never have imagined. You know, did God want me to be married and divorced twice? No, I don't believe that. But I believe that he took every free will choice I made, turned it into good, and built my character and created in me a person who loves the Lord, who trusts God through everything, losing a child, more children, you know, losing parents, all those things build our character to the point that we can stand tall. We can be that house built on the rock that's being hit by waves, but we're not going anywhere because Jesus built that foundation through our trials and through our tribulations. We continue to lay the stones, you know, and if you do a study on stones in the Bible, it's just fascinating, right? Because every time the Hebrews stopped somewhere and something happened, they built stones. They put those stones there as a remembrance, as a building a process, you know, and it's not a mistake that when Jesus says, you know, build your house on the rock, you know, it's all of that. And those rocks are those character building things that we've gone through, either because God has led us that way or because we have this amazing thing called free will that gets us into trouble every single time. But, I don't know.
But
he is, and he's faithful. You know, when we get into the middle of our mess and we stop and we cry and we're like, you know, the Jews did it all the time. The Hebrews, you know, oh my gosh, we found ourselves in, you know, again, under siege again, you know, being occupied again, you know, and turning back to the Lord. And God is faithful. He's faithful over and over again when we turn ourselves around, you know, and that's why I think forgiveness fits into that, because my God, how many times do we break our God's heart by the choices that we make and the things that we do, and, you know, willfully sometimes stepping into arenas that we have no business being in. And God doesn't say, that's it, I'm done. I'm not going to forgive you again, you know. And so it teaches us that, you know, God does that. And I've lived a better life because I can forgive. And I understand what that forgiveness means too, right? Because it doesn't mean, you know, I have notes. Forgiveness is, it's letting go. It's freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It's removing yourself from the toxicity that is around you. It's allowing yourself to move forward. It doesn't come with shame, and it doesn't come with guilt, and it doesn't come with regrets. You own what is yours, and you realize you've been made new. And I think what sometimes our society gets it wrong, and they think that forgiveness means, well, that means I have to be a doormat now. I have to let this thing or that person, you know, back into my life. You know, no, you don't have to allow it again. And you don't have to be a martyr. You don't have to walk around saying, I've been offended. I've been wounded. I've been hurt. You know, and it's never having to hear the words, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, sometimes we forget to say those words to our Father. I'm so sorry. I should have never got myself into this mess. We say, Jesus, help me now, you know, we get hung up on needing to hear, you know, people coming to us and saying, I have offended thee, and, you know, and I lay myself before you, and it's, you know, Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving, and I try to do that. You know, I have had, I'm going to be 60 in February. I've had a lot of people hurt me in my life, some intentionally, some not so intentionally. And, you know, and it's just, I don't want to live in that hurt. I just don't.
It doesn't have to
and I don't want to live. Yeah. And I don't want to live with, oh my gosh, I can't go there because somebody else might be there. And I want to live with the freedom that I have in Christ in all things, right? And that means that I can be in the presence of people that have hurt me horribly. You know, my second husband, he had two little girls
when I married him, and their mom was completely out of the picture, and I was their mom. And I, the oldest child, and she's 37 now, I have, she's still in my life, and I've had to have, I've had to have her father in my life because she's in my life. And, you know, and it's like, it would be awful if I couldn't have, you know, it's like, I don't have him a great deal in my life and very, very little now that she's older, but she lived with me and my current husband for a while. And so, you know, it's like I knew that I needed to take this girl and that, and I knew I was going to have to deal with him, and it was okay. I moved on. But freedom is being able to be in the presence of your enemies and being okay with that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and
right.
I think that's, you know, and what is that? In the Psalms, I'm going to say the wrong one, but the one you read at the beginning, in the present, you know,
yeah.
you were with, yeah, you know, and that's what forgiveness is.
Yeah,
it's being able to.
Table, he nourishes.
Yeah.
So if you can believe it, we're actually going to have to stop for a minute and cut to commercial break because that's it for that second segment. I did tell you it moves along a little faster than you think it does, right? Before,
yes, it does.
Before we go, I'm going to tell you, I took some notes because I know at one point you said that you felt like you were rambling, and I want to assure you that you weren't. I wrote down three really powerful lessons that I got from your amazing testimony. And I'll share them once we get back from commercial break. But before we go, I just wanted to tell you two things. First of all, I wanted to say that I was really blessed and touched by your testimony today. And I love the way that it puts skin on what the Bible teaches. Like it brings what the Lord is saying to us through that love letter that is the Bible. And it makes it real. And it shows us that it lives and breathes. Which is amazing. And then I have to say, I know Ray, and like my husband has never been on the show and maybe never will because he works during this time, they have something in common, and that's that I think that they're really bright lights within our church. They
yeah.
really are powerful light spaces in that church here in Las Vegas in this crazy dark city. Those men just stand strong, and I think that we're both blessed. And I am there with you that my husband has a great deal of patience because he's with me. So they're both real good men. So we'll cut to commercial break, and then we're going to come back and invite some callers. And I want to share some of the powerful lessons I learned from your testimony while I ask some questions from the Bible study. And we will see you guys again soon.
We all know that times are tough. And things are really expensive right now, so why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marti.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marti.com. Marti.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marti.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marti.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marti.com.
Hey, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolly, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolly, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
And welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. We always intro, just in case somebody's joined us in the middle of the show. I'm the host, Felicia DeRozier.
I'm Mariah.
And you're my
co-host.
And
daughter.
Yes, they might want to know that. Maybe this is their first time. And my son, who also happens to be my co-host.
And son. Cross DeRozier, much cooler co-host.
And awesome sauce, we got it.
He's finally woken up.
He's finally awake, is that it?
I'm like 3/4 of the way awake.
You guys, you're making me feel like such a bad mom. What is wrong with you all?
It's not your fault, Mom. I'm willing to admit that I am the favorite.
Okay, is that it? We're joined to... this is like every episode, you have no idea. So we're joined today by our amazing special guest, Mary Jane Eichholz. If you missed her testimony, you have missed something. I'm going to say, if you're just joining us, please pick up on the replay and listen to her testimony. It was absolutely beautiful. It had me in tears. Like, really, really incredible stuff. Really just took the love and the care that God's put in the gospel and wrapped it up and put flesh on it so that we can see it walking in her life. It's really amazing when God takes our hardship and turns it into something beautiful, and that's what he's done with Mary Jane. So some of the things that I learned from your testimony, because I know at one point she said that she felt like she was rambling, and I was like, girl, you were so not rambling, okay? So I want to share some of the things that that I learned. First of all, let's talk about adoption is permanent, right? You're talking about some of the struggles that you've gone through. You had one that was adopted in your heart. You have one that's adopted into your life, and Kimberly, your sweetness, has some special needs and challenges, and that you're there for her in the long haul. And forgiveness is a daily practice. I know this because, like you, I've been divorced twice through some very bad situations, and every once in a while, a new circumstance comes up that requires you to revisit that forgiveness and to release that person to allow yourself to have freedom. So that was amazing. God's hand is evident in every hardship in life if you seek him and turn to him. And I think that your life is a loud testimony to that, like honestly just showing that God's hand is evident in every turn. That God can see us through doing the right thing, even if doing the right thing causes hardship in our earthly circumstance. Those were a few of those lessons. Did you guys catch anything else there?
I really like the obedience over sacrifice part. Because, again, like you said, everybody thinks that when you become a Christian, life is sunshine and roses. And it's really not. You have to choose to be obedient all the time, even if that means, like what Mary Jane said, we're choosing obedience even at the cost of losing somebody important. And that is so hard.
Right.
It's like, it's like going to hurt me a lot, you know, and it's like intentionally wounding your heart.
Right.
But that's not the point. The point is to be obedient
mm-hmm.
and have that renewed heart. But gosh dang it, that hurts.
Right, but truly God brought her this double portion.
Really did.
And both are amazing kids. I don't know Sam as well. He's such a great kid, but I don't know him as well as I know Kimberly, because Kimberly is my 14-year-old's like bestie. So in fact, we have to talk about a birthday party later. But
yes, because I don't want to miss it this time.
Right, she's going to be wanted. Truly a double portion of blessing. Those kids are an amazing legacy to you. And Sam is such a great kid, and he's a servant of the Lord and has this just wonderful heart to him. And of course, Kimberly is just a treasure. And so to see God richly bless you, and let's be honest, it's because of your obedience that he did. Because Kimberly would not have been in your life had you adopted this other little gal. So,
right.
So amazing. Powerful testimony. I hope that people are broadly getting to hear it, because I really feel like it's the kind of powerful testimony that shows that, yes, we have regular lives, and we have challenges, and we have sorrows, and we have trials and tribulation, and through it all, God shows himself faithful. And that's it. That's why we're here, right?
Right.
So let's talk about some questions here from the Bible study itself.
Yay, Mom's world famous pointed questions.
Apparently sometimes when I write the questions, I like write them to myself, and they're a little bit too harsh for me to be throwing at other people. So they're like, thanks, Mom.
Okay.
How do we treat God when we fall short? Do we treat him as a loving father or as a stern taskmaster?
If one of the callers wants to call in and answer that, now's the time.
That's right. Let me give out that phone number. So the guest call-in number is 319-527-6208. Remember to press 1 if you actually want to talk to us. You can listen in on that line anytime. But that is 319-527-6208 if you would like to call in. I'm going to say, and this may actually give my two children who are both grumbling about this question, a little bit of hope. And that is that I feel like my perspective on how I treat God when I fall short has changed over the years. When I was young, I came to Christ when I was 16. I started going to church when I was 19. So I was pretty young. I do think that I felt like I was going to be in trouble. Right? I'm always going to be in trouble, so I've got to hide things. And that does no good. God knows anyway.
Just read Genesis.
Literally. Right. Like, God knew in the first
place. Adam, where are you? Where are you, Adam?
Right. Like, he knew, it was for Adam to check the state of his heart, right? Like, God knows, so there's no point in hiding it. But, I think that now I can finally come to a place where I can say that I come to the Lord and I open up my heart and I open up the ugly and I go, look, this is what I found. And I need you to help me get rid of it. You know what I mean? I don't know. What do you guys think? How do you approach God? Are we somewhere in between? Where are we at?
Somewhere in between, some days for me. It really depends on the circumstance. If I did something really wrong, I think we talked about this before, but it's like, I would rather come to the Lord than live another day with the guilt.
Yeah.
This
girl has a serious guilt complex, y'all.
I really do.
Oh no.
It's so exhausting.
It's bad. But I never had to catch her doing anything wrong when she was a kid, because she would always confess before I caught her.
Like, Mom, I cheated on my test.
Legit.
It's just so much faster. Just get it done and over with. But then there's some days where it's like, I know I did wrong, but sometimes I just don't want to fix it right now. I don't know if anybody else can relate to that, or I'm just the only sinner in the room. But where it's just like, that was wrong.
That's the working through the patience part, because it's the patience, the perseverance right? Of living and of working out that wrongness that builds our character. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, being in a crucible is painful.
Yeah. Especially when we've created the crucible all on our own.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I think we've created all of them on our own, haven't we? Like, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, yeah, you're, and that's the worst. You're in there and you're being tested and you're being purified and you're like, yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
I did this. I can't blame anybody else. It's all me. My other question here was, why is it often hard for people to trust God with their shortcomings as a loving father? Why do you think it's difficult? Yeah, that one's hard, right?
I mean, you can put so many different reasons into that because everyone's so different. I mean, the easiest answer right now, like, for our generation, like, from your generation all the way down to mine, not saying that that's a big gap, but...
It's pretty big.
It's not that big. but where we have father issues, you know, half the time there isn't a father figure in a child's life, and even if they are home, they're not present. So half the time it's hard for us to go to our Heavenly Father that we can't even see. Half the time we're like, are you even there?
Mm-hmm.
When our own earthly fathers sometimes aren't even present with us in the room, let alone in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for us to trust a Heavenly Father who actually likes us,
mm-hmm.
when our own earthly fathers disband us or like don't even see us worthy to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Have a conversation with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to build that trust. That's just coming from like a personal space. Joe, who is my stepfather, who is here now, he is awesome to clarify. but like there are so many people that don't have that father figure, and so it's hard for us to trust that. And so also just side note, like let's rise up the men in this generation to become good fathers, become good husbands, become godly men.
Right.
They need encouragement just as much as us ladies do. And if their fathers are gone, who's going to teach them to be good fatherly figures? Let's raise up the men.
Right. And to the point, like, and I often make this observation to you guys as my kids, is that, you know, adults are human too. So we've only got what we've got at the time, right? We try to give the best that hopefully – we try to give the best that we have. Now, your experience was dealing with absenteeism and abandonment, but not everybody even has that. Some people have harsh taskmaster-type fathers. So even involvement can be brutal with your relationship with God if basically your earthly father isn't representative of our Father in heaven,
mm-hmm.
right? And so the hope is that you have this loving, tender father, you know, who's able to be that and is present with you. But when you haven't, that can sometimes twist how we look at God,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, and I talked to a girl yesterday, and I'm not going to give out names or anything like that, but she was telling me about her life. I'm like, do you have, like, any fatherly mentors, fatherly figures in your life? And she's like, no. I'm like, okay, well, what about mom mentors? Like, do you have, like, any adult-y mentors or just someone you can look at for a good example in your life? She's like, no, I'm starving for that.
Yeah, that's hard.
It is. And so it's like, even mm-hmm. if you have mm-hmm. parents, get those godly mentors, the father figures and the mother figures. Make sure they're married. get that in your life so that you have somebody to look up to.
Because mm-hmm.
if you don't, like she said, she's starving for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hunger need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's biblical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's biblical that the women are supposed to be able to help bring up the next generation of women and help to mentor them. And I remember being a young Christian
Titus.
Feeling the same
Titus
way, where
too.
I really, it's a need. It's a need, you know, and somehow through the church, like, we need to find a way to do that, whether it's just ladies reaching out to younger women or whether it's a formal program or whatever, there needs to be something because oftentimes, you know, if we're brought up in the faith, we may have a godly set of parents to lean on, but oftentimes we're not. I wasn't brought up in the faith. Mary Jane, you were saying you weren't brought up in the faith. So
right.
You need to have that example to lean on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, it's definitely hard to set that off. Go ahead.
Well, I think also we need to, you know, in that vein, look at opportunities. I do mentor a few, and mentor more like as in just have a relationship with women that are in their early 20s, you know, and it wasn't anything I sought out, but it was just that I was there under certain circumstances, and now I've created a bond, and I'm able to speak into these young women's lives. They're able to talk to me, and they have, you know, amazing Christian families that they come from, but again, you know, sometimes you need somebody that's not mom, and you need somebody that's not dad, and I always say I will forever and always be grateful for my church, especially these past 2 years, because of how I have had a village help me with my own children, right? That they have other people that are speaking the same things into their lives that I speak into them. And for some reason, when somebody else says it, it suddenly is like, oh my gosh, the most amazing thing ever. When I said it was like, oh, come off of it. But,
yeah,
you know,
it matters.
It's the way it works.
It's that independent verification. Yeah.
It is.
It does.
But, you
it
know,
does.
I mean, you know, I always tell people you have to get into this stream, and if you know, for your friend that struggles with that, it's the, you know, there's an unwillingness sometimes to go out and ask and seek for that what you're missing, and you have to be in the stream. You can't get wet if you're not near the water, and you know, you get into that stream where you can find, you know, those healthy people to feed you, you know, I mean, but you have to be willing to have some pain and to be patient. Ray and I laugh because for the first 5-10 years that we were married, I would just, and he reminds me of this often now when I'm so busy, he can't find me, that I have no friends. And, you know, and he would pray for me for almost 10 years. And now I have just the most amazing tribe of women in my life. And, you know, but it's being intentional. It's praying mm-hmm. about it. And it's being in the stream. And, you know, I and your friend, you know, if, there's ways of finding those healthy relationships that will give you, that will show you, you know, I'm always thankful for my foster dad. That's what I call him because it's so much easier to say than with the whole story I went through earlier, you know,
right.
who has represented Jesus and God to me so well. And this love, even when I'm messy, dirty, you know, constant, you know, love and thinking I'm amazing. And I'm like, who does that? And God does. God thinks you're amazing. You
right.
know, and
God
does. And he does. He repeatedly, you know, I think I posted something, you know, on Facebook. I saw that somebody else had posted and I stole it and I just love it. And it, you know, with trying to find it. Don't you know it when it doesn't want to be there. But, about how God, if you want to know how much God loves you, you need to realize that he loves that person that you can't stand just as much.
Yes.
And, you know, and I think yes. that's something that, there it is, you cannot comprehend the deepest love God has for you until you realize that he has that same love for the person or people you most despise. And, you know, and we can't, mm-hmm. it's hard to figure that out when we've been wounded in our childhood, when we've had those relationships that were supposed to be giving us security and the ability to bond and the value and the worth. But that's not our only chance to have those kinds of feelings, right? It's a, But we have to trust God, and we have to ask God to give us those things that we're deficient in, that we need. And God is faithful and just, right? He tells us that,
right?
You know, and so you have to be willing. And sometimes, a lot of times, and we might not recognize it, the reason that we're stuck in the places that we're stuck is because we'd rather be stuck than to move into the unknown of what God might have for us. And, you know, you have to let go of the side of the pool. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's another one of my favorite.
Right.
In order to get to the other side of the pool, you got to let go. You got to let go and swim to get to the other side. And it can be scary.
Except
you know. And
I don't swim, though, I think.
I was going to say, if you don't swim, it's even scarier.
Her analogy.
So,
it's a perfect analogy, I just think.
Yeah.
It is a good analogy, though. I'm going to give the guest call-in number one more time. We've got about 4 more minutes before we log off for the day. That guest call number is 319-527-6208, dial 1. If you want to say hi to Mary Jane, say hello to us, answer any of our questions, ask a question yourself, that's 319-527-6208, dial 1. Let's kind of wrap up on this question here. How does the knowledge of being at peace with God change how you can live?
For me, it was like there's 2 incidences where I was over in France, and the first few days it was awful because it was constantly like trying to talk to people and do everything in your own power.
To clarify, she was there for a mission trip.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, I'm a mission trip.
Not on vacation.
No. It was anything but a vacation. Well, until the end. But anyway.
Right.
you're trying really hard and you're working and it's not working. And I remember thinking, like, Lord, I just want you to be proud of me. Why is nothing working?
Mm-hmm.
And God being like, I'm already proud of you. Stop.
Right?
Cool your horses here. And so then you're able to kind of walk with less pressure on you. What is the title of this? Peace Without Pressure?
Yeah,
there you go. You're without pressure. The other story is when I'm talking to someone very close to me and I had to have a really hard conversation with them. And it was one where I'm going to lose this person through this conversation. And we were talking and all of a sudden we both felt like this unnatural peace. It was weird. We're like, whoa, do you feel that? Yeah, I feel that. Do you feel that? Yeah. And we walked away unburdened and with integrity. And, like, our shoulders were pushed back. We weren't, like, hunched down or sad or anything. And a couple months later, we were reunited. It was great. But it was, I guess when you're walking with God in that peace, it is not pressured. It is unburdensome. It is where you can hold your head high and be unashamed of where you're at.
And if you're listening to him well, he even orders your steps. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That part I'm still working on.
Well, you know, that's okay. So are we.
and you know, I think sometimes, you know, when we understand that God does things like that was interesting. I didn't see that coming. I didn't see how that was going to work out. That sometimes when we're in the middle of what we're going through, we don't realize that God's using that in somebody else's life. And, you know, and so sometimes, you know, it's interconnected, you know, it's not all, you know, I think as Americans, we do think it's all about us, you know, and as Rick Warren told us in that very first chapter, the very first paragraph, it's not about you. It's really nothing about
right.
you. And, you know, and so the peace in those trials is knowing that, okay, this isn't about me, you know, and God's working something out and he's going to work it out with me and he's going to work it out with, I don't know who else is, you know, the person that's going to bless me, the person that's going to come alongside me, the person that down the road is going to go through the exact same thing as me, that I can now offer wisdom and come alongside that person. I mean, and so the peace in not knowing is knowing that you don't have to know. It's okay. you know,
right.
I'm trusting that God's got the plan. Yeah.
Right. It's just our privilege to be a small little piece in his great plan. We're actually, can you believe it, we're all done. I wanted to mention really quick that the way that we can really be sure that heaven awaits us is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If we have any listeners who don't know what that is, don't know what I'm talking about, please feel free to stop by our Facebook page and message me. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Be happy to pray with you. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your message, for this amazing testimony. We thank you for Mary Jane and everything that she's brought to the women in Las Vegas and to our church. And we thank you for your word and for your love. We praise you. God bless. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us, Mary Jane.
Woo!
Yep.
You'd be awesome.
Really crazy.
Thank you.
Testimony.
It was fun.
And I'm just going to go ahead and end our show and talk to you guys later. Have a great day.
Bye.